Hello, Epic Career Tales listeners. This is Karen Huller, founder of Epic Careering, celebrating 11 years in business this month. So we are bringing you a very special guest. Joining us today is David Brennan. He is the newly appointed chairman of the board of Alexion, a pharmaceutical company, and former CEO of AstraZeneca. And for you out there who have aspired to achieve the pinnacle that you can in business, I really wanted to bring in a guest this month who could share with you what it really takes to get there. So first of all, David, thank you for joining us and congratulations on your new appointment.
Well, thank you.
So can you share with our audience what a day in the life of a chairman of the board looks like?
Well, the chairman role is interesting from a couple of respects. First of all, it's different than the chairman role that I experienced when I was a CEO based in London and part of a UK format where non-executive chairmen tend to be in the office and work a couple of days a week in the UK governance system. Whereas the non-executive chairman role in the US is much less intense than that. Obviously, it's a non-executive position, but at the same time, they're there are responsibilities associated with both, selection of a new CEO, which we just recently did, as well as making sure that the strategy is set properly and that the board is functioning correctly. So I'm on the phone usually three or four times a week with either my board or with the CEO of the company or a couple of the C-suite execs. And I probably visit the company once every 4 to 6 weeks for a day or two to spend time with management and the staff. And our board meets at least five times a year together. So, and I obviously take responsibility for chairing that session. So for running the agenda, making sure people are prepared, et cetera. So that also takes some time. So it's a variety of activities, again, non-executive related, but clearly critical for a public company.
Absolutely. So also for our listeners, David has been so kind as to fill out about a dozen questions, as usual, every month that we include into our newsletter. And again, this is a special anniversary edition of our newsletter. So if you want to, if I refer back to these written questions and I'm about to, and you want to see what his written answers have been, then you can go to epiccareering.com and sign up and subscribe for our newsletter at the bottom of any page, as well as follow us on social media because we will be sharing our newsletter that way as well. So in these written questions that you were so kind to complete for us, you referred to people skills as being really kind of one of the critical skills that you developed and that you had. You were fortunate enough to have some strong managers earlier on in your career who helped you understand the importance of these people skills. Mm-hmm. If somebody didn't have the fortunate opportunity to have strong managers, and I work with a lot of people, if you can imagine, that don't, which is why I want to move onward. But if they didn't have that fortunate experience and they wanted to develop their people skills, is there a resource that you would point them to?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me is management training. So I would suggest to develop the skill, because it is skill, interaction with people and the type of interaction is a skill-based activity. And those skills can be developed, they can be learned and developed through management training programs. I would say one of the most important essential skills from a management perspective is the ability to coach and counsel, to give feedback, to understand the performance management expectations and have clarity with, a manager, with a subordinate about what's expected, what resources are required, how long is something going to take, and make sure that there's clarity and understanding. And that is, again, something I think that's a learned skill. And I think the performance management and management training side of things enables someone to really develop the ability to on how to interact with people. At a business level for sure, but some of those skills are obviously transferable to day-to-day life.
Do you think that there are any qualities that would naturally make you a better manager, or do you think that even if you didn't feel like you had those innate qualities, that this kind of training would make you a strong manager?
Well, I think, I guess, in a simple way I have often approached things, people, is about willingness and ability. And what I would say is that willingness is a management issue and ability is a training issue. And so I believe probably that most of the people that would be listening to this discussion, have the willingness, and they probably mm-hmm. also have the capability if they don't yet have, the well-developed ability to be able to do that. So, I would say to you, if somebody's not really interested in wanting to do something, if they don't really apply themselves to it, then it's not something that's going to develop well. Whereas mm-hmm. if somebody says, I really want to do this, but I'm not sure exactly how or what else I need to do to be more effective, then to me, that's a training issue. And that's, something that can be trained.
That's a good distinction right there. And you had mentioned that you started working and earning money at a young age. And then, as you started working, I think it was 14, you said, what was your perception about what it took to be financially secure and successful from that starting point in your career?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, one of the things I think I've learned along the way is how the early stages of your life influence your values and how those values tend to stick with you for a long time. And so, my parents were both blue collar workers. I never even knew if I was going to college when I was 12 years old. I think I've always been, my wife would say that I'm a saver. Like if I make any money, the first thing I do is put some of it away, to make sure I've got, a backstop in case I need it. So that's kind of the approach I've taken. I mean, I was fortunate, that I did get to go to college and I got a job in sales, coming right out of school. And, I went to work for Merck and they had a tremendous training program, which was, again, I was fortunate to, have the opportunity to go through that, both from a sales skills perspective as well as from management training. I did my management training at Merck. And I, all along and having done that, I think what I was able to accomplish from a financial perspective far exceeded what I probably was thinking I could do when I was 12 or 14 years old, delivering newspapers and washing cars and cutting grass.
It's interesting what you say about values. I mean, with all this artificial intelligence software, hoping to pick up even some of the softer qualities that enable us to determine if somebody's going to be successful in a job. How, from your role in hiring for your organization, obviously you're hiring as you progress in your career, more experienced executives, but how did you evaluate that somebody would have the value system? Or is it really just once they got up to a certain level, you you pretty much assume that they got there somehow?
One of the things that I learned to do through interviewing one of the things I developed as I continued to interview and hire people in different roles throughout my career was to spend more time with people than I initially did when I first interviewed and considered hiring people. And I found that being able to spend some extra time, not rushing through an interview, going back to candidates a second and even a third time with a bit less formal approach, but to have a discussion about things that are important to them, whether it's family or friends or faith or what, but to learn more about the person than just go through a set of interview questions to try to tally up skills is something that I think contributes to better understanding a person's value system. And I also, Karen, think of it in the context of culture. So how do I feel about that person, and knowing what I know about the role that I'm considering a person for and how that role fits into the company, does it seem to me that this person fits? Mm-hmm. Will they, are we setting them up for success or not? So it's got to be through discussion primarily.
And would you say, I know that you had a big break earlier in your career. You were selected as a candidate over what you perceive to be people with more relevant experience. Do you feel like it was maybe that in-depth conversation, a way of getting to know somebody and letting them get to know you, that you can attribute to getting that big break?
Absolutely. The person who gave me that opportunity was somebody who spent a lot of time with me, with a few people, but specifically with me, getting to know me better, outside of the context of just doing work. I worked for the person, and I had worked for them two levels down before I was a sales manager in that department. And then when the opening came in that department and I had been a sales manager for just under 2 years, that person called me and asked me if I would come back and run the department. And I think part of the reason was because we had developed a personal relationship, and he knew me, and he believed that I could do a good job doing that. And, it worked out very well for me, and it worked out well for him, because what we were able to do in that group over the course of the next 2 years was remarkable.
So you had also mentioned that having broad experience, you mentioned this a couple of times actually in your written questions, that having breadth of experience and being able to have a broad, obviously, the path from sales to CEO requires acquiring a large amount of knowledge around business and all the operations of the business. So would you say that this is how you go about acquiring that broader experience, just going about developing relationships with people? What does that look like? How could you tell somebody else who wanted to acquire broad experience how to actually get that opportunity?
Well, I think I would look to adjacencies to the work that a person's currently doing. So if, in a big company, best example I could give is the adjacencies at Merck. There were opportunities to be in sales and sales management, which is the first several years of my career. I moved over to marketing in product management. I then ran a training department, which was management training as well as skills training, and then moved over to the international division and started to get some experience working with people outside the United States, both in marketing communications as well as marketing planning, and that led me to a general management job within Merck of a $400 million ophthalmic business that was based in France. So within the company, there were, the adjacencies were sales and then marketing and then training and then general management. I expressed interest in those things as I saw them and thought about myself and what interested me. Why would I pursue those things?
Networking and
looking around at the things that you think could be of interest, or so something that you might not necessarily think you have all the skills for right away, but you believe you could develop those skills. I mean, the management training program for sales management that I went through that training program before I ever became a manager. So it was, skills are acquired, and then you get an opportunity to apply them.
You said a lot of great things in there that I want to make sure I recap for our listeners. So, one is keeping your eyes open for opportunity, right? Two is training into a position that you think you might have an interest in even before you get the opportunity to go there. Because I know a lot of people say, let me go for this. If I get it, I'll get training. But, when that's where you want to go, getting the training first, even if your organization doesn't offer it. There are certainly some external programs that are very credible and reputable for gaining management skills. And then you also said self-awareness. Why do I want to pursue this? Right? Yeah. So really thinking about the why. And then networking to make yourself visible and expressing your interest in these opportunities. So you've said a lot of really great things there that I wanted to make sure that our listeners really got from that answer. And yeah, I think that is a really great summary for anybody listening. And if you want to get to the CEO or chairman of the board, like David, then now you know what you can do. So, David, you've really given our listeners quite some food for thought for their future, and I appreciate the time that you took to answer these questions and be with us today.
Great. Thank you. I enjoyed it, and best wishes to everybody who gets a chance to hear this.
Thank you. So thank you, listeners, for joining us this June 2017, our special 11th anniversary edition of Epic Career Tales. Listen in next month, and until then, be epic.